I've come to bless the name of Jesus. Despite the circumstances of my life, I'm here and I'm going to bless the name of Jesus. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to lift my hands. I'm going to bless His wonderful name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you just take a few moments and in your own way, why don't you bless the Lord? Hallelujah. Why don't you thank Him for His goodness, for His mercy, for His grace? Lord, we love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. While you remain standing, I know that there are some here among us that are not feeling well in body. I've been battling some health issues, and Brother Jay's been battling some vertigo. Sister Grimm's had some upper respiratory issues. I know there may be others in the house, but I know we don't always do this on Sunday morning, but we're going to take an opportunity to go to the Lord in prayer. And if you would like to be anointed and pray for, we're going to open these altars and allow you to come forward. The elders of the church are going to lay hands upon you as the Bible says, and we're going to believe the prayer of the faith shall save the sick. Amen? So if you're here this morning, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and why don't you make your way down front, and we'll anoint and pray for you and bind together and believe and trust in the power of God to heal and to help. Can we do that right now? Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. We have opportunity. Thank you.
love is casting out fear.
Hallelujah.
You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed.
And reach my hands
to the
presence is here. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's healing, there's deliverance, there's help, there's strength, there's reconciliation. God, whatever we have need of, we can find in your presence. Healing is here in your presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. One more very special prayer need that I'd like for us to bind together as a church and pray concerning a lady who attended for a few weeks here recently, and her daughter has been coming to church and been part of a youth. Bianca and Melody found out that last night their home caught fire, the home they're staying in. My understanding that Bianca was taken to the emergency room for precautionary measures. Don't know the extent of the damage to the house or to the individuals involved, but we need to bind together and pray for them. As we find out more details, I'm sure that we can bind together and not only pray, but maybe provide help and assistance in that situation. So it's very new. It just happened, but we want to bind together and pray concerning Melody and Bianca. And it's now an opportunity for us to be the church.
Yes, yes, amen, amen.
Opportunity
yes.
for us to reach out. Help to be there for them. Can we pray for them right now? Dear Jesus, we come before you. Oh, we thank you, God. You have all things in your hands, God. Believe and trust in you, God. Now, I pray you move upon the hearts and minds of the people gathered together, God, to reach out, God, from Melody and Bianca, God, and the situation there. Lord, we don't know the extent of the damage, God, not only to the home, but to the people, God. And we ask, God, that you're a help, that you're a strength, God, and that we would bind together, God, and provide, God, whatever it is, assistance necessary in this situation. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you. We give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your precious name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask. Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together? Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. While you remain standing, if you would grab your Bibles, you want to make you aware of a few things by way of announcement. This week, happening at the Illinois District Campground, is the Illinois District Conference and Camp Meeting that is taking place starting tomorrow through the end of the week. And I know there will be some from this local assembly going to be a part of some or many of those services. And so we first of all, want to pray for your safe travels. It's about a about a 2.5 hour drive from here to the district campgrounds. But if you have opportunity to go, nightly services beginning at 7, I promise you, you will be blessed and be ministered to and being able to go and be a part of that great meeting together towards the end of the week. My family, we're planning to go and be there towards the end of the week. And so we're looking forward to what God has in store at the Illinois District Camp meeting. Also, this coming Saturday, the small group meetings, the calendar schedule of events and what you're to bring and where you're to be and all that wonderful stuff is back there on the bulletin board. Sister Graham wanted me to let you know if you are scheduled to be at her house on Saturday, the party, if you will start at 5:30, and then we will be eating around about 7. And so she wanted me to make you aware of that. If you have any questions concerning that program or how to be a part of that program, if you are not a part of it, it's a small group setting where we get together. We kind of split up people in groups and go to different homes and have a good time together. And if you want to be involved, we want you to be involved. And so if you have any questions concerning that, please see Sister Grimm, and she can give you details concerning that. You could probably see Brother Grimm, but he'd probably direct you to see Sister Grimm. And so you might just want to go to the source itself and see Sister Grimm about that. Romans chapter number 8. Romans chapter number 8. Again, reading in verse number 35. For many, probably a very familiar passage of Scripture, one that I know if you've been around church any length of time, you have heard quoted, probably preached from. I know I have preached from this passage myself, but the help of the Lord, I want to look at it just a little bit differently this morning. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse number 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse number 38, writer Apostle Paul says this, for I am persuaded. Everybody say that. Say, I am persuaded. He says, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to preach to you upon this subject. Persuaded that nothing shall separate. Persuaded nothing shall separate. Can we pray? Dear Jesus, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here in your presence this morning, to lift our hands and lift our voices in praise unto you, God, for you are good. Your mercy, your grace, your truth, God, we stand in acknowledgement. God, we applaud how wonderful you are, God, and we thank you that we can bind together, we can believe concerning the needs here this morning. God, we thank you for our brothers and sisters, God, who help us, who strengthen us, and encourage us, God, to be in your presence. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you glory and honor for who you are and what you do. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we ask. And everybody said amen. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Persuaded, nothing shall separate. Sometimes when we look at Scripture, we do so without peering into both sides of the equation. For instance, we talk about how the Bible is God's love letter to humanity, revealing His great redemption plan and His great love for us. And while the Bible is undoubtedly that, the other side of the equation is that the Bible is also a guide for us in loving God. A plan of participation for our proper response to His unconditional love towards us. In other words, while the Bible reveals God's love towards me, it also reveals my love or lack thereof towards Him. Both sides of the equation, both sides of the understanding of the Bible, is it not only reveals how good and how loving God is to us as humanity, it not only reveals God's great redemption plan and His salvation for all of us, but it also reveals whether or not I truly love God. It reveals its plan of participation, its blueprint for a life that is lived in proper response to God's unconditional love. The Bible shows us, it orders our steps, it gives us the way in which we are to walk and what we are to do in order to reveal unto the world that not only does God love me, but I love God. That I appreciate what God has done for me, that I am thankful for God's sacrifice, that I am thankful for what God did for me to purchase my salvation. And so the Bible is not only revealing how good God is to me, but the Bible also reveals whether or not I am good towards God. Hang on. As I have stated before, God's love towards us will never be in question. I draw your attention to John chapter 14, verse 21. The Bible says, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Jesus was saying in John 14, he's saying, listen, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that reads the word, he that understands the Bible and then lives accordingly, it is he that loves me. It is how the love is revealed, not only God to me, but me to God. It shows, it reveals how I am to love God. Because as I've stated many times, and I will repeat throughout this message this morning, it is not God's love towards us that is really in question. It is not whether or not God loves us. God, I believe, has forever settled and answered any objection to His love for humanity in Jesus Christ. If we truly understand Calvary and we truly understand the sacrifice that was paid for our salvation, then the question as to whether or not God loves us is not even really a question. God loves us, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, if any question is raised in accordance with God's love towards us, it is merely rhetorical, as His response on Calvary resonates eternally, leaving nothing to chance from His end. God made it plain. God showed us. God revealed in Jesus Christ how much He loves us. The fact that you and I are alive today, the fact that you and I have opportunity to gather together, the fact that you and I are even here in the house of the Lord this morning, further reveals that God loves us. I thought about this. In fact, the very breath one might use to even question the existence of God is granted by God in love. God gives the breath. God gives the life. It is God who is the life giver. It is His love for us that allows us, even those that would deny His existence, it is His love itself that gives them the breath to do so. See, where we get tripped up, where we often confuse things, is we take the infinite and unconditional love of God and we attempt to make it fit into our finite and conditional world. Hang on for a moment. Where we often confuse the matter is that we try to understand and we try, and that's not all wrong. We should seek and we should study, but we try to take this infinite and unconditional love of God, this agape love that you and I cannot manifest humanity to humanity, and we attempt to make it fit into our finite and conditional world. And while God does help us understand His love with roles and relationships we can comprehend in this life, His love is so far superior and so surpasses our understanding that it is faith that must fill the void and bridge the gap between the finite and the infinite. It takes faith to truly understand. It takes faith. And you don't truly understand because faith is not something that you will ever truly understand. Faith is something that is supernatural. Faith is something that is beyond the finite. Faith is something that says, when I don't understand it or I don't actually know, I still believe. So while I, in and of myself, cannot understand or completely comprehend the love of God, I can by faith say that God loves me, that God died for me, that God purchased my salvation. I haven't seen that yet in the sense of making heaven my home, but I can believe. I can stretch my faith that says, though I live in this finite world and though I'm here in a temporal place, I believe that there is an eternity. I believe that there is a hereafter. I believe that there is something beyond the here and now. And so my faith must stretch and connect the finite to the infinite. See, yet again, this faith has to be found on both sides of the equation. First, it has to be a faith in God's love towards us. It has to believe that an infinite, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, omnipresent God loves me. That a perfect, holy, without any variableness or shadow of turning, a perfect, spotless, wonderful God, Creator, loves me. He cares for me. That even the hairs of my head are numbered. He cares for a sparrow and he notices when any one of them fall, and we are of much more value than sparrows, and so he does care and he does love me. God, this infinite deity that I can never in all my finite knowledge and understanding even come close to comprehending or scratching the surface, but I can with faith believe that this God loves me, that this God created me, that this God brought me to where I am, that this God aligned it so that I would be here and now in this place, in this day, in this age. And while I can't understand all that and I can't comprehend all that, I can with faith say, I believe it. I believe that God loves me. Let me explain it maybe by surveying the first few scriptures of our text. Verse 35, the Apostle Paul asks the question, who shall separate us from the love of God? Christ, rather, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Thought about it. None of those things are good. I know I'm stating the obvious, but tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. See, I come to understand this. When life is good and things are well, when the blessings are rolling in, when the stress meter is staying low, it's not a stretch to feel love and to love. It doesn't take much faith to believe when the blessings are happening and life is good and there's no stress and all is well. It doesn't take much faith to believe or to trust in love, in being loved and also to love. However, the other side of that coin, but on the other hand, when there is tribulation and there is distress and there is persecution, the conditions and the circumstance, they seem to cause question. They seem to cause us to contemplate or consider, does God really love me? If God loves me, then why am I dealing with this? Why am I distressed? Why am I going through this tribulation? Why are these things happening to me? If God really loves me, then why is this happening in my life? We read the next verse of Scripture. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And as I looked this up, I realized, wait a second, that's a reference to Psalms. And so I began to research, and I found that in Psalms 44:22 is where this actual verse is found, that the Apostle Paul is quoting from Psalms when he quotes this. And so I began to look at that psalm, and I read Psalm 44, and I realized that this tone of Psalm 44 begins like this. It says things to the effect, we've heard about thy mighty hand and how you delivered us and how you helped us and how you strengthened us and how you scattered the enemies before us and you drove out the enemies. We've heard about how wonderful you are and your greatness and your ability that even without sword or without bow, you begin to intervene and you helped us and you saved us and you delivered us. But then it goes on to say, but now it's though you have cast us off. Now it's those you have given up. You have turned us over to the enemy. We are a byword and a reproach among the heathen. God, it's like it's presenting both opposite ends of the spectrum where everything is good and the enemies are cast out and everything's going well. But now, Lord, it's as if you've cast us off. It's as if you've forgotten us. It's as if you have allowed us to be taken by the heathen. So diametrically opposed is the tone there in Psalm 44. But then it says, in thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. God, I don't get it. I love you. I declare my affection and my affinity for you. And yet I deal with persecution and I deal with the enemy encamped around about me and I deal with circumstances and situations not working out like I would hope they would. And Lord, I deal with, I've heard how you've helped other people and how you've worked and how you've blessed and how you've raised up and how you've delivered, but now I feel as though you don't care. Now I feel like it's a stretch for me to believe that you love me. The Apostle Paul answers the question. The Apostle Paul says, in spite of this, and even looking in that, even though we may feel like for thy sake we are killed all the day long, he goes on to verse number 37 and says, no! Nay! No! Not even if I feel like I am killed all the day long, not even in those circumstances, even in these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Even in all these things, I can still understand the love of Christ. Even in all these things, I can still understand that God has a better plan, that God's knowledge is above my knowledge and his ways are above my ways. Even in all of this, God, I can understand that I can overcome and I can conquer through your love. You see, I believe even in the most unfortunate of existences in life, the love of God will be revealed. I don't know how, and my understanding fails me. A situation happened yesterday in the mall. Sitting there with my family, we were in the dining court of the mall, and a young man comes up to us, and he's obviously very disabled. Couldn't speak. He began to grunt and make noises, loud noises, in our general direction. And of course, the kids were kind of looking up, like, "Daddy, do you know him?" And I said, "No, I don't know him." I smiled at him, and I spoke softly to him. I realized and told my wife it might have been that I had a little pocket knife out on the table that I had used to cut a donut in half for the kids, and maybe he objected to that knife. I don't really know. He couldn't communicate. He couldn't talk, but he was trying to somehow let me know that for some reason he was getting my attention. And then so I realized that maybe that's what it was, and so I quickly put the pocket knife away and put it back in my pocket, and I saw him as he left and went up the escalator. I don't know about you, but it's times like that when I see people very unfortunate, when I see people who are disabled and unable to do what I take for granted on a daily basis. Sorry, I get emotional about this. That even this preacher of the gospel, this pastor, sometimes questions, God, how is your love revealed that man? Can't speak. Can't communicate. I don't know the family situation. I don't know anything about the man. I just know he's not fortunate. I just know that I have and can do things on a daily basis that he cannot do. Lord, I don't understand that. But I don't believe it's your will that anybody be sick. I don't believe it's your will that anybody be impaired and anybody be disabled. But I know we have them all over. We have people who are sick. We have people who are dying. We have people who are disabled. We have people who have all sorts of diseases and deformities. And please understand my heart in this. Sometimes when I see it, I in my finite knowledge and understanding, I question the love of God. Be real with you. And that's why it's got to take faith. It says, I don't understand it. I don't see how, God. But faith has to somehow connect this finite misunderstanding to an infinite love of God. It's somehow, some way, I believe eternity is a great equalizer. I don't know how it all works out. I don't know how God does what he does. I only know that God is righteous and God is perfect and God doesn't do anything wrong. God knows what he's doing. And even though I don't understand it, and even though I can't fit my brain around it sometimes, I can look toward heaven and say, God, I still believe. I still believe you love us. I still believe you love the world. I still believe. Still believe. Though I can't see and though I can't understand everything, I tell you how I conquer the questions. I tell you how I overcome the uncertainties. I tell you how I deal with the doubt. I, through faith, believe in an unconditional love of God that though I can't understand it, I believe it. God does not fail. God does great work. And though there is a reason beyond my comprehension for the how and the why, and while I do not know, I believe. And faith in his unfailing love bridges the gap between my finite understanding and his infinite love. Why faith has to be in the picture. That's why faith has to be in the equation. But not just on the side of the equation of God's love for us, of God's love for the world, but there has to be another part of the equation. There has to be another facility of faith, if you will, that must be in my heart and must be in my life. See, the first part, God's love towards us, and often when we quote this passage, and I've heard it numerous times, and I don't demean it, it's rightly so, we quote this passage in the sense of God's love towards us. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, nor things present, nor things to come, nor death, nor life, nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. The love of God is so rich, the love of God is so pure, the love of God is so holy, so righteous, that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. And I get that. I understand that to some degree. Part I don't understand, I believe. It's a great mystery, but I believe it. I believe that God loves me. I believe that God has all power in heaven and earth, and his love towards me is unconditional. I believe that. I don't understand it all, can't comprehend it all, but I believe it. You see, that's just one side of the equation. Because when we quote that verse, we often do so just in reference of God's love towards us. Nothing shall separate. God's love is so powerful. God's love is so strong. God's love is so unconditional. Nothing shall, anyways, be able to separate us from the love of God. Might I pose another possibility? Could it be that the intent of the Apostle Paul in his writing, and if you look at the things that he wrote are not really things that would even affect God. The things that he wrote are things that would affect us. The Apostle Paul, I believe, is saying it this way. For I am persuaded. I don't really understand all of God's love towards me. I believe it is there. I believe that His love is there and will forever be. But I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us. Catch this. From our love of God. Catch the shift. Catch the understanding. Catch the other side of the equation. It's not just about God's love towards me and how powerful and how wonderful God's love is towards me. And somewhere along the line, not only does my faith have to stretch and believe of an infinite, powerful deity who loves me, but at some point in time, it also, the other side of the equation must be manifest in my life. I have to be persuaded that nothing shall be able to separate me from the love of God. I'm going to get real. Maybe you have it. But I've looked at my children and thought, God, if one of them were to pass from this life before me, I don't know how I'd do it. I don't know how I'd go on. I don't know how I wouldn't look toward heaven and shake my fist at you, God. I'm just going to be honest. Can I just be very candid and transparent this morning? See, my love is conditioned. My love, certain qualifications that I assign in my own heart and in my own mind. And I know, maybe you're so confident, you're so robust. Maybe your relationship with God is so perfect that you don't ever question. You don't ever contemplate what might or might not persuade you or detour you from loving God. I have. And I do. Oh, you ain't going to hear preaching like this very much because I'm just being honest. You see, as I begin to read this again, I begin to look at the other side of the equation and say, wait a second. The Apostle Paul is saying, I'm persuaded. I've got a faith not only in God's love towards me, but I've got a faith in my love towards God. That not even death, not even losing a close loved one would cause me, would separate me from loving God. Not even life, not even something that I've wanted and something that I've desired, something that I've sought for and I've wanted so much, not even that would separate me. No angel, no principality, no demonic forces, no powers, nothing shall be able to separate me. Why? Because I'm persuaded in my mind, not only that God loves me, but that I love God. I'm persuaded. I've come to the conclusion that whatever happens in my life, no matter how high I climb or how far I fall, no matter if it's the best or the worst, if it's the good, if it's the bad, what I've wanted or what I've dreaded, what I've sought after, or what I've run from. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God. Paul's saying, listen, I know His love. His love is so great. His love is so conditional. But my love is conditional. And so I've got to become persuaded in my own mind. I've got to have enough faith to believe that no matter what circumstance would befall me in life, no matter what I'd have to go through, no matter what tribulation or distress or peril, or no matter what would happen to me, I've got to believe that my love for God is so strong, and my love for God is so stalwart, and my love for God is so rich and so real that no matter what happened, no matter what came my way, I could look at the enemy in the face and say, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. See, the variable does not exist in God's love towards us. It only exists in our love towards God. God's going to love me. What I do, where I go, God's going to love me. His love is unconditional. His love is agape love. His love is not based upon merit or favor. His love is love in its purest form. A love that you and I cannot tame. Catch this. But on the other hand, I can, in my condition, I can, in my choice, reveal a love for God. It says, God, no matter what happens in life, no matter what I go through, no matter where I go or where I don't go, guess what? I'll be loving you. No matter what I'm going through, God, no matter what I'm dealing with, guess what? I'm going to love you. God, I want you to know I want to make an affirmation. See, here's I'm just going to step out a little bit. Here's where the world is becoming so messed up. Oh, it's about the love of God. God loves us. God wants us happy. God loves us. He wants what's best for us. He wants what makes us feel good because He loves us. And so we should learn to tolerate and accept where I'm going. We should, in our love that is like God's love, wait a second, our love is not like God's love. You try to compare the love of deity to the love of humanity, you're messing up. When you try to take what is holy and what is righteous and what is perfect and put it in an imperfect box or situation, you polluted it, you perverted it. Let me explain it to you this way. That would be like in a relationship as a father to a child. Looking at my son and saying, Austin, I know you like bears. Go play with that grizzly. It's furry. You like bears. Oh, Dad, I want to. I want to go play with that bear. Hug it, and hold it, and squeeze it. Well, that's dangerous, but I love you. And I want you to feel accepted. And I don't want you to feel wrong for wanting to hug a bear. So, Austin, go hug the grizzly. I know that's a little absurd, and I know that the analogy, you say, well, what I'm saying is that the world thinks, God, I want to do it. I want to be a part of it. I want it to be okay in my life. So in your love for me, you should just accept that I want to do this. In your love for me, you should tolerate my opinion and how I want to live my life and what I want to do. In your love for me, got the thing backwards. We're going at it all wrong. We're trying to make an occasion, and we're trying to make acceptance for things that God warns against and that God tells us, listen, don't play with that. It's dangerous. It'll hurt you. It'll ruin you. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And I love you enough to steer you away from that. I love you enough to say that's not something you should be involved in. That's not something that you should make a part of your life. That's not something that you should accept as right and good for you, because it's not good for you. And I love you enough to show you in the Word of God that you steer clear of it, that you stay away from it, that you don't play with it. Here, it's the other side of the equation that really matters. It's the other side of the equation that really makes the difference, because there is no variableness. There's neither shadow of turning in God's love towards me. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love is unconditional. The condition, the variance, is in my love towards God. Reality is, if I can let what society accepts separate me from the love of God, catch it. Society says it's okay. The world allows it, it's all right. So I'm just going to be a part of that. His love is there. His love doesn't vary. But when I start making acceptance and variance in my life and make it conditional in the sense, well, I'll love God as long as it doesn't go against what I want to do and how I want to live. It's not the tone. It's not the understanding of the Apostle Paul, because he's saying this. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what power, what principalities. It doesn't matter if things present, things that are going on right now, or things that are going to happen in the future. None of those things shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, because the love of God means more to me. My relationship with God means much more to me than relationship with this world. My relationship with the principles and precepts of what is pleasing unto God is more important to me than what pleases man. And it's not about His love for me. It's unconditional. I am persuaded that nothing in this life shall separate me from loving God. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Feel. One of the enemy's greatest weapons that he uses against God's people is not just contemplating or considering or wondering about the love of God towards me. We do in our humanity and in our own understanding. Failure to completely comprehend, we question. I often think that many times the greatest variable of faith exists in my love towards God. Because I see my mistakes, I see my mess ups, I see my faults, I see my failures. We somehow, I'm not discounting those things. I'm not saying that you don't have to worry about those. Certainly reveals my love and how I try and how I attempt, how I do my best to do what is pleasing unto God. Do I in all ways, every day? No. Neither do you. Somewhere along the line in my walk in relationship with God, I've got to have the same type of mentality that the Apostle Paul had. None of these things, nothing that happens in my life is going to keep me from loving God. When I mess up and I make a mistake and the accuser of the brethren comes in my life and says, you don't really love God. You did this. Made a mistake here. Walked away here. You did this here. You don't really love God. I try. I put on the show. I wear the mask. You don't really love Him. I would be reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul. I am persuaded. Neither death nor life, powers, principalities, angels, things present, things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You see, His love overcomes. And so my love in return will conquer the question. Catch it. Question's going to come. The enemy creeping in your heart and your mind. You don't really love Him. failed here and you failed there. You made a mistake here and you messed up here. You don't really love Him. Pursuing other things that are not Him. You don't love Him. It's sad to know that many have become convinced. Have stopped making any effort. And pursuing God. Because they have become convinced by the enemy that they don't love God. But I would. Please understand my heart here this morning. That you would hear the words of this preacher. That somewhere along the line there would rise within your spirit a confidence. A persuasion. An assurance. Makes my calling and election sure. I don't live in the mistakes. I don't continue to reminisce with regret. I made it, now I move forward. I messed up. It's behind me. Today's a new day. Today's another opportunity to become persuaded that neither height nor depth nor any other creature. Today's another day to become persuaded in my own heart, in my own mind. I know He loves me. I know He cares for me. I know He's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I understand to some extent His love, unconditional love towards me. Now it's my opportunity today to reaffirm, to look heavenward and say, Lord, I love You.
Yes.
And I need You to help me increase my faith to believe that no matter what comes my way, no matter what befalls me, neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nothing shall be able to separate me.
Yes.
That I'm going to keep loving You. That I'm going to keep going forward. That I'm going to keep, no matter what the enemy says and whispers in my ear and tries to convince me to concede and give up and go another way. I'm going to keep putting one foot in front of the other and saying, no, I'm persuaded that nothing shall separate. I am persuaded that nothing shall separate. No matter what happens, no matter what I go through, I still love You, God. I'm persuaded in my own heart, in my own mind. And while He loves me, I love Him. Nothing shall separate me. No relationship, no success, nothing in this life, nothing. Here in this finite world, nothing here in the temporary shall be able to separate the faith that somehow connects the finite, the faith that somehow keeps me believing that I love God. Persuaded. My love for God will burn so hot that it will consume situation, that it will consume circumstance, that it would consume anything that would try to separate, that it would consume anything that would try to drive a wedge between me and God, that it would do, and it would take out anything that would try to ruin my relationship. I am convinced, I'm persuaded. This morning and you question the love of God. You question whether or not He loves you, whether or not He cares. I implore you on the authority of the Word of God. Start there. Start believing that God loves you despite your faults, despite your failures, despite your mistakes, despite your mess-ups. Believe that God loves you. But don't stop there. Don't let that just be the one side of the equation. Look at the other side. Can you become convinced in your own heart, in your own mind, that nothing will separate you from loving God? And no situation, and no circumstance, nothing in life will detour you from a destiny that you have with your Lord and Savior. Nothing shall separate. Persuaded, nothing shall stop.
I want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, your love.
We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, your love.
All consuming fire.
Loyalty is proven in the midst of adversity. If you love Him, keep His commandments. If you love Him, show, reveal by your faithfulness.
You
keep going forward in Him.
Us.
Discounting, discrediting the call of the enemy, the accuser of the brethren. Keep going forward in God. Keep believing. Become persuaded. Nothing shall separate.
For more in love with you, let us fall more in love with you, let us fall more in love with you.
We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, your love. We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, all consuming fire. You're our heart's desire, living flame of love. Come baptize us, come baptize. Fall more in love with you. Let us fall more in love with you. We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, your love. We want to know how high, how deep, how wide is your love, your love.
Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your great love wherewith you love us. Love in its entirety is beyond my understanding. But I believe. I hold fast. You love me. No, you're all powerful, God. Somewhat rhetorical when I talk about nothing separating you from loving me. I know. Often the big question resounds in my mind is, do I really love you? Help me. Help me to do things in life. Pattern my life, according to the principles and precepts of your word, that I in my own heart, my own mind, become persuaded that nothing shall separate, that I will from henceforth even forever love you. No matter what comes, no matter what situation, circumstance I find myself surrounded with, and in the midst of whatever scene that is, God, I can look toward heaven and say, I love you. I trust you. I don't understand it all, but I believe. And that faith persuades me that nothing shall separate. One more time, can you lift your hands to the Lord? Lord, help me on a daily basis to further affirm my persuasion. Help me, God. The life that I lead, the example that I set before others to show that I am persuaded. Not just in your love for me, but in my love for you. I follow your word. I look, I study to show myself approved unto you, God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing your word. Becoming persuaded that nothing, absolutely nothing, shall separate. I bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.